stand before you this morning. God's also given me an opportunity. My wife and I, Saturday, will be married 46 years. And so God's given me the opportunity to stand before you, before my wife, and just thank the Lord for her and what a blessing she's been to me. And it's been the 23 of the best years of her life. You see, I've been saved about half my Christian, I've been married double my Christian life, and I got saved about halfway in the marriage and everything. And I can tell you, honestly, before the Lord, after 46 years with her, I'm more crazy about her than I ever have been, and that's the truth. I love you, honey. And after 46 years with me, she's just crazy, all right? And that's the way it works. All right, well, we're going to get into the Word of God this morning, and I've got two passages that we're going to look at this morning, one more in detail than the other. I'm going to take an Old Testament and a New Testament passage and show you some similarities. If you have your Bible, if you will, let's turn to Luke chapter 17 this morning. We'll start reading in verse 11. I made a comment here one Wednesday night. It kind of stuck with me, and it kind of led into me going back and studying some of this. But let's look in Luke 17, verse 11. And the Word of God says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were leopards, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And there are not found that returneth to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And I look at that, and I'm going to compare another scripture here in a minute as we go on and study this. But I'm looking at this, and Jesus has just healed these 10. They were lepers, and as they left away, they were all cleansed, every one of them. But only one of them came back and was thankful to the Lord. And he says, and Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? God's saying, was I not good to 10 of you, but only one of you came back? And the Bible says that Jesus said this, he said, Arise and go, thy faith has made thee whole. And I wonder if them 9, if they got leprosy again. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said they were cleansed. But can I tell you this? I know this for sure reading this. This one that was grateful, there was 10 that were cleansed. There was only one that was made whole. And so as we focus on this, we'll see how good God's been to us. Let's go to the Lord and ask God to help us this morning. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand before these people. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the message, Lord, that you've given us. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help me, Lord, that God, I not stumble around. God, that I just speak clear. Lord, just speak what you'd have me to speak. But Lord, most of all, Lord, I ask God that you'd speak to the heart of God's people. Lord, if there's one lost this morning, God, that they might see the need, Lord, that they realize their eyes are open, Lord, that they need to be saved, that they need a Savior. And then, Lord, for the God's saints, Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us. God, help us to look deep in ourselves and, God, just evaluate ourselves to see if we're who we think we are. And, Lord, that we might get some help, Lord, that we might leave here with a greater desire to serve you. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to go just a quiet opposite. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. And our pastor, he preached out of this text here, and it was very good message. I'm not preaching his message again, but I am going to show you some things, and we'll move on. In Genesis 3, verse 1, the Bible says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Ye hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees, of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amidst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And with the Lord's help this morning, I want to preach a message entitled this, where art thou? You see, Jesus, when we look in the New Testament there, when we see Jesus healing these 10 lepers, you know, only one of them appreciated what God did, and only one of them came back and acknowledged it, and only one came back and fell down and worshiped him. But my Lord has to look at that, and he says, was I not good? Was I not good to all 10? Yet God must ask. He said, where are the 9? He's saying, where art thou? And you see, you know, we see this, and in this passage here. But in Genesis, see, they had a promise. They had a command. And our pastor pointed that out. I'd never quite seen it quite like that. But the fact that God had given the charge of the garden to Adam. It was Adam's responsibility to pass it on to his family. But this was it in Genesis 2:16. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden thou mayest eat freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eat thereof thou shalt surely die. And you see, God made a covenant with Adam right then. And this was a covenant he made. He said, you obey me, Adam, you obey me, and you'll live. But he says, if you disobey me, then you're going to die. It was just that simple what took place here. And you know, God was good to Adam. God must have looked at Adam and said, you know, when he's thinking, where art thou? God had to be thinking about all the good things God had did for Adam. The Bible says that God, listen, he formed him out of the dust of the earth, and he made him in his own image, and he breathed life in him and gave him a living soul. I can only imagine how God must have looked at that and said, Adam, haven't I been good to you? Where art thou? You look and you find that God gave him dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that creepeth upon the earth. You see, God made all that for man. And God says, has to look and say, have I not been good to you, Adam? I gave you all these things, and you give you dominion over these things. And then he says, you know, of all the seed-bearing fruit, I've give you that for meat, and the fruit trees that are yielding for fruit, and every beast and every fowl and every creeping thing I've given you for meat. God must have looked at Adam and said, Adam, I've been good to you. I don't understand, where art thou? You see, he also planted this beautiful garden, unlike anything me and you've ever witnessed. It was perfect. And God put him in the garden. God said, God could have said, look how beautiful it is. Adam, haven't I been good to you? Where art thou? Then we find out that he not only put him in the garden, but he gave him a charge that he was to dress it and to keep it. Gave him a job to do there. Not only that, but he let Adam have the privilege of naming all the animals on the earth. Boy, I tell you, God was good to Adam. And yet God must look down and say, where art thou? Not only that, but he took a rib out of Adam, and he made him a woman. And the Bible says he brought the woman to him. Boy, I tell you, God was good to Adam. And God must look at him and say, where art thou? You got to understand this. God calls out to Adam. Here's God. They hear him walking in the cool of the day. And he cries out to Adam, basically because Adam was the one that he gave the charge to. And he says, Adam, where art thou? You know, the thing is, God was not, you know, my old knowing God, he knew exactly where Adam was. There was no hesitation to that. And he knew exactly where he was. He knew that he was naked.
He knew exactly that he had sinned. But let me tell you what God was trying to do here for Adam. God was wanting Adam to take a self-evaluation of himself. God already knew the answer, but God wanted to hear it from him. You know, he didn't even handle that right when he did that. You remember what he said? He said, "Oh God," he said, "you know," he said, "how do you know you're naked?" And he said, "Because I ate of that fruit and everything." He said, "You know that woman, the one that you made, the one that you brought to me, you know, she did give of me and I did eat." Now, Adam wasn't ignorant about that thing. Adam knew exactly what he did. He knew exactly when he did it that he was sinning against God. See, the difference between the transgression between the woman and what Adam did, she said, when God approached her, she said, "I was beguiled by the devil. He tricked me." But Adam willfully sinned against God. Because, see, I know that God knew this, that, listen, God had already made him a promise. He said, you disobey me and you're going to die. Adam knew that there was going to be judgment for the sin. God knew that this righteous and holy God had to just sin. He didn't want God to just the woman. He loved her, and he chose the woman over God, basically. He did the same thing a lot of us do a lot of times. We can go God's way or we can go man's way. Adam just chose to go the way of man. He didn't want to lose the woman. But you know, you see, God wanted him to say it himself. God does that all the time. I believe in a way I can't explain to you. God is calling out to us today and say, "Sir, ma'am, teenager, where art thou?" God wants me and you to self-evaluate our lives. God doesn't want us to be like Adam. Oh, well, you know, put the blame off on somebody else. Or even worse than that, when God asked Cain, "Where's your brother at?" You think God didn't know where his brother was? God knew exactly what Cain had done. He knew exactly what. He said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" He not only just, tried to make excuses, he lied to God. My goodness, are we guilty of that? When God reveals things to us in our life that are not right, are we guilty of making an excuse for it, putting the blame off on somebody else, or maybe even trying to tell God a lie about it? You know, see, God's been good to even me and you. That's the truth. I tell you, God's given us a good mind, and God's been good to us. God's given us good health. You say, "Well, my health ain't what it used to be." Let me tell you something, friend. Get in the car and go with me today when we leave here and go to out here to the nursing home. Boy, you go out there and see some of them people twisted up in them wheelchairs, and their minds are shot, and it's not their fault. It's just what old age has done to them. Boy, we can all say God's been good to us. Boy, if you was able to get up and go to church this morning, God's been good to you. We got people that have come to the services out there that have to be wheeled in. They can't walk. They're twisted up. But yet they still love to come and hear the Word of God. You know, God's give us jobs, families. I don't deserve the love of my family, much less the love of God. But God's been good to us. He provides our every earthly needs. But also, listen, if you're here born again, saved this morning, God has provided all of your eternal needs. Boy, God's been good to us. He asked Adam not to eat. God only asked Adam one thing. He said, "Don't eat of this forbidden fruit here." And then he has to ask him, "Where art thou?" Had Adam been obedient to the Lord, do you know that God would have never had to ask man anything else? You know, we have all these laws in the Bible and the Ten Commandments and all. That's all because of sin. Had Adam not given in to the temptation of sin in the garden, God would have never asked anything other than Adam to stay away from that one tree right there. But you see what happened and the consequences of it. But you know, if you're here this morning and you're lost and you know not the Lord, God asks a few things of you. The few things God asks is this. He wants you to know that He loves you. He wants you to know that He loves you so much that He sent Christ, that He would willfully lay His life on Calvary's cross, that He shed His blood. If you'd accept that, you could be saved. He wants you to know that you're a sinner. He wants you to understand that sin must be paid for the wages of sin is death. He wants you to know that that Christ already paid that sin debt. Well, I tell you, it's something when I think about the fact that but God commanded His love toward us, and yet when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. Well, I tell you, when there was a time that I didn't know God, didn't want to know God, He still loved me anyway. Lost person, God wants you to know this, that you personally have to ask Christ to come in your heart and forgive you of your sins. If you'll do that, he'll save you. And then you can be baptized and move on serving God. But God asked one thing of Adam. God asked just a few things I'd have lost. But friend, can I tell you, for God's saints, for those that are born again saved, God asks a lot of us. There's a lot of things God put out there. He's commanded us many things that we are to know. And I can tell you, the more that we study God's Word, the more wisdom and knowledge we get out of this book right here, the closer that me and you walk with God, the more God holds us accountable. Luke 12:48 says, "For unto whosoever much is given, of him shall much be required." That's the truth. And so Adam, before the sin, he had no need for the law. There was no need for it. But because of it, you know, God had to give us some laws. We'll talk about a few of them this morning. But the lost man, he can't be expected to keep the things of God. You can't. Boy, listen, we're so judgmental. We get somebody to walk in this door here and we know they're not living for God. Or, you know, we've got to understand, they can't be expected that. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Spiritually, they're ignorant. They don't understand. But for me and you, it's different. "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and do it not, to him it is a sin." That's what God requires of us. And so you see, listen, does God have to look at us and say, "Where art thou?" If Adam had not sinned, there'd be no need for these things. God had to give Israel and give mankind the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." But boy, I tell you, we're not careful. Our job is more important than the things of God. Our hobbies and a lot of things we put in front of God. Must God look at us as we compare the material things in our life or our other secular responsibilities compared to our commitment to God? Must God look at me and you and say, "Where art thou?" Could that happen? He said, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Can I tell you, I dare say there's probably nobody in here, if you're born again saved, God help you if you ever let that slip out of your mouth, if you ever think such. But I tell you what, as a Christian, I believe God holds us accountable to scold those that do. I don't have no problem. I'm probably going to get stomped one day. That'd be all right. But I just cannot stand being around a man or even a lady in the day that we live in that would stand and use God's name in vain. I don't have to put up with that. I'm not going to. And so the Bible says, "Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy." Boy, I tell you, when God looks at us in our church attendance, boy, must God look at us and we're hit and miss. We show up once in a blue moon. Man, we're faithful to come every other Sunday and that's about it. Must God look at us and say, "Where art thou?" Now listen, I'm not talking about them people that are hindered. We got folks that are not here this morning that I know would be here if there's any way possible. Sometimes health limits us in how much church we can attend. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that one that just willfully decides, "You know what? I got something I'd rather do than go to church. I'm not going to do that." Boy, can I tell you what? Let me tell you something, men. Next time you're out on Sunday evening, out in that big old bass boat, trying to catch some fish, I hope you remember this. God are crying out to you, "Where art thou?" Huh? Says we not to and consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. God says not only that, but keep the day holy. Says honor thy father and thy mother. Can I tell you, teenager, that is a big thing. God help you if you'd stand up and sass your mom and daddy. Can I tell you, I promise you, when that happens, if you're sassing to your mom and daddy and being disobedient, God looks down on you and says, "Oh my Christian teenager, where art thou?" Because that's a place where we ought not be. "Thou shalt not kill." Yet in this nation, millions and millions of babies have been slaughtered with this thing called legal abortion. Can I tell you, I promise you, God hasn't spoken in my ear, but can I tell you this, I know that my loving God must look down on this nation and say, "Haven't I been good to you, United States? And I see these innocent babies being murdered. Where art thou?" You see, when Adam had walked in the evening, in the cool of the day with the Lord, and had fellowship with him, and now the fellowship was broken because of the sin. Don't you know God can have that same attitude toward us as we've drifted away? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Sometimes people think they deserve things. Workplace is the worst place for it to happen. Well, you know, they should have given me a raise, or they should have done this. I'll just take this little stuff here. They won't miss it. Can I tell you, listen, Christian, when we do that, God looks at that and he says, where art thou? I've been good to you. I've provided everything you need. Yet you think you've got to take something that don't belong to you. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. You see, God help us. When we get to the point in life where we think we've got to have everything everybody else has got, and then on top of that, when it happens to them, we become jealous. Ought not be that way. I believe that when we have that covetous attitude, I believe God looks down on heaven and says, my, I've been good to you. Where art thou? And you see, God does not want us to be carnal-minded. God wants us to be lovable to our neighbor. God wants husbands to love your wives. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Friend, can I tell you, when you're not loving your wife, God must look down at you and say, my goodness, son, hadn't I been good to you? I give you a helpmate. I paired you up with just the right one. And now here you're not loving her like you ought to. Where art thou? God asks us that, men. And then the wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Ladies, when we don't do that, God must, when we won't let the husband lead the home, if he's a spiritual man leading that home in spiritual things, then God must look at us and say, where art thou? We also know that men, we ought not provoke our children to anger. And we know that the children ought to obey their parents. That's a command. And children, when you don't do that, listen, dealing with mom and daddy is minor compared to what God can do. Well, you don't want God to take you to the shed house. You don't want God to bring his judgment on you because you're disobedient to your parents. You don't want that. And I'm just trying to help you this morning. God wants us to be separated. God's give me and you the Great Commission and wants us to go out and be that witness. Go out into the hedges and the highways and compel them to come and to be that witness. Are we doing that? Are we faithful? How many times do we fail to do that, to be that Christian witness and a witness to those that we come in contact with? Boy, we walk out of a place and God gave us a golden opportunity. Could God call down and say, I've been good to you. Look, I just gave you this. I opened the door up for you. I made it easy for you, but yet you didn't do it. Where art thou? You see, we're to be the watchman over the tower. The Bible says that also that we're not to touch the anointed ones. And, you know, we got a pastor coming. We need to be obedient to that. Listen, if we come in here and try to buck the preacher and not let him lead this congregation, can I tell you, God will cry out to this church in a way that I can't explain to you. Where art thou? See, God wants us to have this self-evaluation. God wants me and you to go through life, and he wants us to be slow to anger. Yet, boy, I tell you, the first thing doesn't go our way. Boy, we let that temper flare. He also wants us to have a forgiving spirit. I could go on and on and on here. The Bible says for us not to unequally yoke ourselves with unbelievers. Yet that teenage boy, that teenage girl, they won't take that in consideration when they start looking for a mate. God help you. Listen, God's trying to help you with that. You do that, and then you marry the wrong one because you married one that's not a Christian. And then a year, 2 years down the road, you're wringing your hands out, wondering what's wrong with the marriage. And God's looking down and say, wait a minute. I gave you the truth. I told you not to do this. I told you not to go down this road. I've been good to you. Where art thou? See, we bring it on to our own self. This thing of modest apparel. The Bible's plain about how we are to dress, men and women, when we're out in public. Yet, listen, we're more concerned about keeping up with the fashions of the day and fitting in with the world, and to the point where, listen, people can't even tell the difference in our dress and the dress of the world. And I promise you, God would look down on it and say, wait a minute. I've been good to you. Just like the ten, I was good to the ten. But only one of them showed their gratitude. I was good to Adam, and Adam failed. weren't there. You take this thing about homosexuality. I'm not going to get into that today, but I just tell you the Bible's clear, you know, of what it says. The Bible said plainly, I had it in my notes and somehow I missed over it, but the Bible said that God made man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You want to know how many genders they are? The two of them is right there. God named them both in creation. I don't see in the Bible, I've read the whole Bible through several times, I cannot find another gender that God created after the creation. Okay? I don't have time to go there. I'm not afraid to, you know, but anyway, we're moving on with the message. But the Bible's plain. There's no confusion about it. Unless you picked up one of them perverted versions and left that part out. That is possible. All right? But listen, you know, God wants us to, you know, he wants us to bridle our tongue. We ought to be careful about what comes out of our mouths. Yet I tell you, listen, we'll let anything, even foolish gesture stuff, come out of our mouth. And when God sees that, he's got to wonder, my Christian, that one that I've been so good to, weren't thou? You see, we're not to be judgmental on other people. Sometimes we are. Does God have to shake his head and look down on us and say, where art thou? You know, God doesn't want us to be respecter of persons. But boy, I tell you, in the workplace, sometimes even in our churches, we get little old cliques going. Boy, they'll exclude everybody else and it's their way or no way. Boy, God, listen, God's not happy with that. God's as displeased with that as he was these nine that had no regard for the blessings that God had gave him. You know, we need to be looking for his coming. We need to be careful about getting tangled up in false doctrine, and it's everywhere. I'm teaching a Sunday school, starting a lesson now in Sunday school about it, and there's one part of that lesson that's going to be on this, about how Jesus is the way to get us away from this false doctrine. And it's everywhere. Most of it's created in my lifetime. And it's just a sad thing. And so listen, we need to wait on the Lord. It's exactly what we need to do. And, you know, me and you don't need to be discouraged in life. Because you see, listen, God knows exactly, you know, how much the clay can take. He's the potter, we're the clay. He knows exactly what we can handle. Can I tell you, listen, that me and you will never ever have to go in life and say, I know we're guilty of doing this sometimes, but we got no right to ever say, God, where art thou? That's foolish for us to do that. You know why? Because he'll never leave us, never forsake us. He's that comforter that sticks to us closer than a brother. And he's never left us. The times in my life that I've struggled the most are the times that I can look and just simply tell you I was not walking with God in the cool of the day. I just wasn't. Some of the most precious spiritual times in my life, I'm just being honest with you, have been some of the hardest times in my life. You know why? Because it was in end times I had to walk with the Lord. But my problem was bigger than me. It was beyond my capability of fixing. I had to lean on the Lord to get me through it. And in them days, I mean hard days, boy, God's been good to us. Whew! We got a pastor coming. Can I tell you, this pulpit committee thing, this ain't my first time, all right? I can remember being so down, and it hadn't been this way. It was a roller coaster, I promise you. There was some, you know, exciting and some disappointment moments in it, but it was all because, what? God's putting everything together just the way he wants it. I can see that now. But I can tell you, listen, I can remember being on a pulpit committee in another church. You're talking about burden. I mean, I'm not bragging on me. I'm just bragging on God. I can tell you there was evenings. I had a place. I go drive down and had a pathway going down to a bench. And I go down and pray sometimes for hours. I'd be on my knees so long I couldn't walk when I got up. Weeping and begging God. Just begging God. Burdened. But can I tell you, them spiritually were some of the most precious days of my life. You know why? Because God was helping me through them moments. And in them hard times, I was closer to God than I ever had been before. God help us when we go through life and things go good for us and we forget about God. See, I believe that a lot of times people just simply forget how good God's been to us. God looked at Adam. He looked at the 10 lepers. And the one came back and he said, were there not 10? Didn't I cleanse 10? Where art the 9? Where are they at? God had to look at Adam, and Adam was the most blessed man that ever walked on earth. He was perfect physically. He was placed in a perfect garden. He had one-on-one fellowship with God, walking in the cool of the day. Everything that he needed in life was provided for him. But yet, we see that, listen, I believe he forgot about the goodness of God. Here's what God wants me and you to do this morning. He wants me and you to have a self-evaluation. When God spiritually, I'm not going to hear, probably never going to hear God whisper down in my ear, where art thou? But spiritually, the Holy Spirit could speak to my heart at times and say, where art thou? And see what God does. It's not that he doesn't know where I'm at. He knows where I'm at physically. He knows where I'm at spiritually. And when God tenders your heart that way, this is what God wants. God wants you to evaluate your life. He's wanting me and you to take an inner look. You see, it's not enough for God for me and you to lay our head down at night and say, oh God, thank you for this day. Forgive me of my sins. No, listen. God says, where art thou? What sins? God wants me and you to name them. God wants me and you to evaluate our lives and tell God, God, this is where, you know, right or wrong, God, this is who I am. This is where I'm at. Because you see, if we don't do that, here's what happens. If we're not careful, we'll wind up justifying things in our life that's simply not right. We think it's okay. And see, if we tell it to God, you know, if God reveals to us and we tell it back to God, we know it ain't right. We got to get that thing out in the open. God says, where art thou? He's wanting me and you to have a self-evaluation of who we are. And so when it comes to this thing, listen, when it comes to your walk with the Lord, when it comes to my daily walk with the Lord, where art thou? Am I walking with God righteously in the cool of the day? Or am I finding myself naked spiritually, hiding out from God because I know there's not things in my life. I know there's things in my life that are just simply not right. And see, what God wants us to do is he wants to reveal it to us. I tell you one thing to help you in your prayer life, because it's easy for man to justify. Adam said, you know, that woman, she made me do it. Eve put the blame off on the serpent. But the thing is, God wants me and you to be held accountable for the things in our life that are not right. So here's one thing I'd suggest to help you in your prayer life. As you pray, ask God, God, if there's evil in my life, God, would you reveal it to me so that I can see it? And if I can see it, God, give me the courage and the strength to do something about it. The message simply is God cries out to us, where art thou? Where does God find you this morning? Let's all stand up.